For the next several weeks, I want to talk about Christian foundations. Today, I want to talk about evangelism or sharing of your faith. Next week, I want to talk about giving. That's a foundation of Christian life, about giving. And then perhaps first and second week of December, scripture, reading the scripture. Without foundation, everything falters. So today, I want to talk about sharing of your faith. And the title of the message for today is How Beautiful. Could you take a look at the title? Can you turn to your neighbors, and say, how beautiful, how handsome? Could you do that? Oh, man. Yeah. It's hard, isn't it? Yeah. Could you look at them with the eyes of the Lord and say it again? Seriously, how beautiful. And this is exactly what God is saying to you, actually. Okay? Can you do that one more time? Yeah. Could you turn to your neighbors and say that? Yeah. How beautiful. But amazing thing is, not how beautiful your face is, but how beautiful are the feet. Okay. And this is God's exclamation. How beautiful are the feet. Okay. What do you mean? Right? God sees the feet and says, how beautiful. Sort of like, wow, after the creation, he says, it is good. How good it is. You know, God exclaims, he has emotion, strong emotions. Right? Sin destroys and alters emotion. We laugh about weird things and we don't rejoice over the proper things. Sin destroys our emotions. It destroys everything, by the way. But God says, how beautiful are the feet. What kind of feet? Okay. And today's text, it says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, shalom, and brings good news of salvation. Okay? You bring good news to the people, particularly to your family members. How beautiful is your life? How beautiful are the feet? This is like the fundamentals of Christian life. Fundamentals. Okay? You have something very, very precious. Wouldn't you want to tell to your people, tell other people? Right? You just got an A in this very difficult course, organic chemistry. Wouldn't you want to tell other people? Right? Right? Would you want, if something's precious, you would want to tell other people. You know why we don't tell? Because it's not that precious. If it is, we would tell other people. Okay? That's just the way it works. Okay? So I want to talk about that, and that particular verse is from Isaiah 52. I'm just going to quickly read it. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who brings good news, proclaim peace, that's shalom, and brings good news, who proclaim salvation. Salvation is Israel. That means salvation, okay? And who says to Zion, which means Israelites, people of Israel, and the good news is our God, your God reigns. Did you know that our God reigns? Okay, those of you who are quite not sure about that, Bible is so clear, and that's like the pillar of Christian faith, that God is reigning. He places kings and princes on the throne. Don't forget that. Don't forget that, okay? Some of you are upset, some of you are not upset. I don't know where you are, right? But God placed them there, okay? Hopefully, you will submit to that. God placed them there, and we are called to honor and pray for those leaders. That's biblical teaching, right? God places good kings, God places bad kings. I don't know how you see it, okay? But God placed them there because he's sovereign. And he's all wise. And if you remember the Bible, God uses good kings and bad kings to bring judgments and leading of his people to the rightful places. Right? Don't forget that. Don't forget that. There is no perfect kings. And Bible also makes it very clear that do not place your hope in the kings and princes of this world. We are not supposed to do that. We need to put our hope in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right? Every nation is like a drop, and you know, Nora read it today. It's like a drop of water in a bucket before the eyes of the Lord because he's sovereign. Okay? What is a drop of a water in a bucket? Means nothing. Nothing. Babylon, Roman Empire, Greek Empire, okay? United States of America, Soviet Union, it's like a drop of water in a bucket, Isaiah 40. And the good news is, your God reigns. Okay? And hopefully that'll bring some peace in your heart, okay, if you're not peaceful about that. Okay? So, Isaiah 52, verse 7. And today, this is the text, okay? From Romans chapter 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You want to be saved? You need to call upon the name of the Lord like no one else. That's the only way you'll be saved. Okay? But how can they call on the name whom they have not heard or believed? How can they believe in him whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching? How can they preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, Isaiah 52, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, which is what the gospel is. What Christ said is the gospel. In fact, we're going to look at it. Christ is the gospel. Only way your family members or yourself, if you're still seeking, that you will be saved, the Bible says, when you call upon the name of the Lord. Only way, okay? And only way you're going to do that is when you believe. But how are you going to believe unless someone preached to you, right? And how are they going to preach to you unless that person is sent or missioned, okay? So the feet of those who brings good news to proclaim to you that your God reigns. That's a beautiful life. Okay? And basically the message is faith comes from hearing the word of God. You never hear it, you have no chance hearing the word of Christ. That's the whole basis of Christian faith. We say this or that, whatever you want to say. You could say whatever you want to say. You can speculate whatever you want to speculate, but it has no ground. But the scripture says, faith comes from hearing the word of God. Christ, what Christ said, and Christ himself is the gospel. Okay? So I want us to look at a story, Acts chapter 16, pretty well-known chapter, how God brings the good news to the families, okay? It's much bigger than that, but I want to look at it like that. Is your family in Christ? Do you care? Does it matter? He's coming back. He's coming. Do you care about your family? If God is God, if God is coming back, could there be a greater reality? Could there ever be anything greater than that? Right? So Acts chapter 16, last week, Reverend Koh, someone I dearly respect, who has such love and passion for the kingdom and for the next generation. I don't know anyone like him, honestly. Right? And he came last week and he talked about the Macedonian call. Something that Spirit does, which is kind of weird, from Acts chapter 16. Okay? And this is it, okay? Acts chapter 16, which is during Paul's second missionary journey, Okay, second missionary journey, led by God himself, I guess like maneuvered or driven by Spirit of God himself, and he saves three families. Three families. Could you look at it like that? And that is by bringing the good news through the messenger. Okay, here. Let me begin. When they went through the region of Phrygia, they means Paul and Silas and Timothy, perhaps other people, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been stopped by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. It's weird. Holy Spirit stopping that. Don't speak to them. Okay? And when they had come to Mysia, they attempt to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, Spirit of God, did not allow them. Again, don't go there. Don't preach them. I want you to, I have a place you want, I want you to go. So passing from Mysia, they went to down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia. Macedonia is Greece, right? Northern Greece. And help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. I think it's very meaningful. Are you convinced that God has called you to preach the gospel to your family members? Just asking. Are you convinced? To help you a little bit, okay, this is Turkey, and this is Greece, this is Mediterranean Sea. You see? Okay, this is Turkey, present Turkey, Asia Minor. Okay, and this is Greece. A lot of places you recognize already. Acts 16 starts from Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Pisidian, and Antioch. You recognize all these cities. And they preach the gospel right here, Phrygia and Galatia. We just read it right here. They preach the gospel there. And they try to go to this way, Bithynia and Pontus, right? But Holy Spirit stopping them, don't allow them. So they come to Mysia, which is west instead of east. Holy Spirit just kind of like leading. Right? So they come to Mysia and they come to a city called Troas, which is a harbor city like New York City. And there he had a vision. Paul had a vision. Who gave that vision? Holy Spirit, God himself. God leading them to Mysia and Troas. And one night, Paul seeing a vision. And basically, men from Macedonia, or this is Macedonia, asking us, come over and help us. Come over and help us. Okay? That's what happened. So if you read the next chapter, Neapolis, Philippi, this is the Philippian church, city that we're going to be talking about. Thessalonica, Berea, and all these cities, and Athens right here, which is the capital city of Greece right now, and Corinth, it's all there. Okay? But the point is, they try to do ministry here, and God stops them, and God kind of lead Paul, Silas, and Timothy to a different direction and let them go to Europe, which is a historical moment. Okay? And the rest of the chapter has three conversion stories of the families. Hopefully, as you listen, you'll have faith about seeing conversion of your families. Okay? Because this is amazing if you look at it. Okay, first conversion story is a person called Lydia, okay? First conversion story. And from there, they went to Philippi, which is a leading city, huge city of district of Macedonia, and which is a Roman colony, okay? You got to picture that, huge city, okay? And it's a Roman colony. And Paul, Silas, and Timothy remained in that city for some days. And it was a Sabbath, Sunday, okay, Saturday. So what they decide to do, they went out to the gate of the riverside and place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke with some women who had come there, okay? So what happened? They went to the city of Philippi. Spirit led them there. It was Sabbath. They decided to go a place of worship, and they sat down and talked to some ladies. Basically, that's what happened. And then if you notice, the story zoom in to one person. Okay? That one person's name is Lydia. One who heard, one of them who heard us was a woman named Lydia. Okay, we don't know her last name, Lydia, from the city of Thyatira. Now, that's very, very interesting because if you look at here, Thyatira is right here, right above Ephesus, which is Turkey. Paul and Silas just came from there. They were stopped from preaching so that they will come to Philippi to meet a lady from Thyatira. Could that be a coincidence? Absolutely not. Right? Absolutely not. And what kind of lady was she from the city of Thyatira? A seller of purple goods, which means she was a businesswoman, international businesswoman, selling high-end clothings, Prada. What else is there? I don't know. Okay. Yeah. Seller of purple goods. Yeah, purple. Purple goods, right? And she was a worshiper of God. And next line, one person, okay? The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was being said by Paul. I love this statement. You know how family come to know the Lord? God chooses one person of your family and zoom, and he opens the heart so that you pay attention to what is being said. I've seen this many times. Have you ever seen it? God opens your heart and you begin to hear it, right? What happened as he testified the gospel of Christ, the word of Christ? What happened? And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And probably asking, speak to us more about Christ. Right? I think that's probably what Lydia was asking. Just a couple of observations. As soon as her heart were opened about the word of Christ, she thought about the family members. Right? You see that. And I picked it up this morning, actually. Maybe it was an immigrant family, because family was there. I don't think family came to a business trip together. It was, the family was there in Greece. They are from Turkey, Turkish people. I don't know how we could call that, but from Asia, but they're living in Europe. Sort of like yourself or your parents. They came to the United States, right, and met Christ. I think that's what we see. So what do we see? It was a divine intervention. Lord opened a heart. Okay? Lord opened a heart to pay attention to what was being said. First conversion story. Okay? Second conversion story. Okay? Of a family, I'm guessing. That's why I put a question mark there. Second conversion. Right after that, as they were going to a place of prayer, okay, another place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination, which means a demon-possessed girl who was a fortune teller. Very non-significant person. Zoom into one person, right, who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. And she followed Paul. And if you notice, oh, even a demon-possessed person recognized God. Isn't that amazing? Book of James says, even the demons know that Christ is the Most High God. And I find it so interesting because we human beings don't see that. But demons see that. Do demons believe? I don't think so. But they recognize, but we don't, right? She followed Paul, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God, proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Okay, can you imagine a woman following Paul, and she was demon-possessed and saying, these are the servants of the Most High God, and proclaiming the good news. And she kept up doing for many days, Paul having become so greatly annoyed. Can you imagine that? Right? Even Paul gets annoyed. Oh, man. I can't take this anymore. So what does he do? He rebukes in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, come out of her. Right? She says to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. Again, it's the divine intervention. Do you see it? Spirit led them there. And every step of the way, it's divine. First, Lord opened the heart. Second, casting out the demons. But her owner saw their hope of gain was gone. You know, oh, we're going to lose, you know, our profit. How are we going to make money? They were upset. So they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. Accusing, try to get rid of him, accusing. That's what the enemy does all the time, right? Enemy does that all the time. When you try to preach the gospel, enemy try to seize you and always try to accuse you and get rid of and kill you, basically. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. Second conversion story. That slave girl, fortune teller, demon possessed, she was healed by the power of God. Okay, second conversion story. Right after that, that led right to the third conversion story. Okay? So they were led to the rulers and the magistrates, and basically all the accusation was poured upon Paul, Silas, and Timothy. So what did they do? They beat him and just beat him up and throw him into the prison. There, he met the third family or third person. Zoom into one person again. The Philippian jailer. We don't even know his name. Okay? Having received the order, he put them into the inner prison. The inner prison, and fastened their feet in the stocks. So there is no way Paul and Silas could get out of this situation. Okay? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing to God. And prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, or NIV says, all the doors flew open. There was a great earthquake. You gotta picture this. And the foundation was shaken, and all the prison doors flew open. Can you picture that? The power of God, Spirit moving. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Okay? When I look at this, every conversion, there is an intervention of God. Don't you see it? Every step of the way. If you want to see your family to be saved, it's going to take God. Okay? It's going to take God. Whether it is opening your heart, whether it is casting out demon out of your life, whether it is bringing that earthquake and shake the foundation, it's going to take God every step of the way. Right? And when I look at this part, it kind of pictured me what happens to a person who are living as a slave to sin. Okay? Those who are not in Christ are slaves to sin. You are not in Christ. If you are in Christ, you've been set free. If you are not in Christ, you're a slave to sin. And see what happens. Look at this picture. All of a sudden your life shakes. Great earthquake, like a great earthquake. And the foundation of that prison is shaken, and the doors flew open, and every bonds were unfastened. That sounds like God's divine work of being born again or regenerated, in my opinion. Okay? And then again, one jailer. We don't even know his name. He's probably a Roman, right? A Roman jailer. He woke up and saw the prison doors were open and drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. You know, you as a Roman soldier and you're guarding the criminals, and if you lose the criminals, you'll be put to death. So he might as well just kill himself instead of being shamed and put to death. So he was about to kill himself. Okay? But Paul, who were led by the Holy Spirit for this prisoner, listen to what he says. Okay, I think this is amazing. Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself." I think maybe we should, this is what we need to say to the people. People without Christ, they try to harm themselves. They try to drink to death. They try to work to death. They try to, I don't know, they try to harm themselves. Do not harm yourself. We are here. Paul says to him, do not harm yourself. We are here. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas and then brought them out and said, okay, just amazing thing happens. Oh, now, you know, earthquake happens and prison door flew open. Can you imagine that? Without God, that, something like that would never happen. And so he sees what he needs to see and asks Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? Salvation. Sort of like the rich young ruler's question. What must I do to be saved? Do you know what you have to do to be saved? Are you saved? Friends, could you look at me? Come on, people. That's what preaching is. Are you saved? Here's the question, what must I do to be saved? Are you saved? And then Paul says, believe in the Lord and you'll be saved, you and your household. The word of Christ. Believe in the Lord, you'll be saved, you and your household. It's a beautiful scene. That Philippian, that Roman soldier in the city of Philippi would have no chance unless God brought Paul and Silas to that city of Philippi and preaching the gospel. Would have no chance. What must I do to be saved? Are you crying out in your heart? Or do you not care? I don't know. What could be more important than that question, right? Are you saved? Just want to ask. Is your future more important than this question? Is your doing better in business more important than this question? Come on, people, I hope you're listening. As you're listening, I just pray that God will open your heart. Only God could do that. Is your reputation more important? Is your relationship, current relationship, more important than this question? Somehow God brought you here. Maybe you're harming yourself right now. You're harming yourself watching video games 5-6 hours a day. You're harming yourself. You're ruining your, frying your brain. Yeah, basically. You're harming yourself thinking that there's no more to life. And you work 16, 17 hours a day. You may be doing that. And here's the question. What must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe in the Lord and you'll be saved and you and your household.
And they spoke the word of the Lord, word of Christ, to them. Do you notice? Only way the one can be saved is call on the name of the Lord. And if you want to call on the name of the Lord, you need to believe. And only way you're going to believe, you need to hear it. Only way you're going to hear it is someone preach to you. Only way someone who's going to preach to you is someone send that person to you. Right? How beautiful are the feet of those who brings good news. Right? Spoke the word of the Lord to him. And then brought to his house and set food before them. He rejoiced along his entire household and that he had believed in God. Okay, it was quick, but three stories of three families being converted. I don't know what's going through your mind. Do you want to see your family come to know the Lord? God desires it more than you do. He does. I hope you care. Okay? I hope you care. Okay? Okay, I'm going to go fast. Okay? Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, that was Acts 16, and this is the plot or the theme of Book of Acts or Christian history. Okay? In case you didn't know, this is it. Okay? You will receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this is the plot, and this is the theme of Christian story and history. Okay? You know why Christ came? And he died and resurrected, and when we believe in him, Holy Spirit is given to us. You know why? So that we will be his witnesses. Just like Paul and Silas. That's what it is. This is the plot and theme. And we need to be ready to make a defense of to anyone who asks, why are you so hopeful? Are you hopeful for America? Are you hopeful now? You should be ready to give a reason. And my hope is because our God reigns. Isn't that good enough? Right? Do you have it? Right? So our God reigns, and this is from Isaiah 52:7. And I just want to, if you could just stay with me just a few more minutes, because we have a communion, okay? I'm going to go to quick. It's from Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful are the mountains, are the feet of those who brings good news, who announces peace, who announces salvation and brings the good news of happiness. Tob, it is good. How good? In Genesis 2. We go back to Genesis 2, before sin, through the gospel. That's what it means, right? And the gospel is our God, your God reigns. If you believe in that, how could there be any greater message? Our God reigns, and he loves me, okay? What's the good news? He's going to return to Jerusalem or Israel. And what is he going to do? He's going to redeem us. How is he going to do that? And this news of redemption of our God will reach the ends of the earth. Okay? How is he going to do that? Okay? I'm going to skip. Okay? How is he going to do that? He came. God came. And he brought the good news. And good news is, if you place your trust in me, you will live forever. Right? And what was the good news? The good news was that messenger himself, that God. I didn't get a chance to read Isaiah 40 again, but she read it. You know who that God is? He's the Good Shepherd. He's the Almighty God. Nations are like a drop of water in a bucket, right? He's the Almighty God, everlasting God. He's the creator of the universe. And he came, that's the gospel. And what did he do? The good news that he brought is this news right here. How beautiful are the feet. That's the beautiful feet. I don't know whether you could see this. And he washed your feet and mine. Right? That's why I live in New York. Now I know for certain. Okay, I was born in Korea years ago. Came to the United States 40 years ago, exactly 40 years ago. Okay. I grew up in Chicago. I went to Flushing High School, Stony Brook University, blah, 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 married. And I stand here today, and I know why I'm standing. I really do. To bring the good news to you. Proclaim the good news to you. That's why he washed me. Okay? And these are your feet tomorrow morning, heading toward work or school, having been washed by God Himself on the cross, heading toward work to proclaim peace and salvation. This nation is in confusion. You know why? Because they factor God out. You could tell them, our God reigns, and He's coming. He's coming. That's the good news. I think that will settle it. If He really comes, I think that will settle it. Don't you think? Okay, let's pray.